Listen to Shoot the Defence. It's unbelievable, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to another World Cup edition of Shoot the Defence. I'm your host, Stel, and joining me is none other than Saji Burton. Saj, welcome back to the show, mate. So, you know what, how you doing?
I'm alright, thanks. I've had a great time watching this magnificent World Cup.
It's been something special, hasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the last World Cup that I enjoyed as much as this one was probably 1990, with Italia 90, when I used to get back from school at 3:30 and watch football all the way till 10 o'clock. And remember watching magnificent games like West Germany. I remember them playing at the San Siro, winning 4-1, and Luka Matthäus running out of defence and smashing it top corner from like 25, 30 yards. It's been a great World Cup so far.
Yeah, I agree, mate. So, hang on, how old were you at Italia 90?
11.
So is that 11, a couple years? Yeah. Couple years.
Oh, sorry, I was 13 even.
13. Yeah. So you got about 4 years, 3-4 years. I mean, I remember that tournament like it was yesterday. To be fair, I remember, you know, the opening game with Argentina and Cameroon with a Oman Biak's goal, the shocking challenges.
Yeah.
The shocking challenges where they took out Claudio Caniggia. It was
running down the wing.
That's right. I think they got two red cards that day, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I remember growing up in that area. I mean, all the blacks people in London were all supporting Cameroon because at that time, supporting England as a black guy is class as a coconut. But it's all changed now.
Absolutely. Well, look, let's talk about the two games that occurred today. And we'll begin with Uruguay's win against Portugal, because that's fresh in our memories. I've just about got my breath back, to be honest, mate, because I'm looking at the players, and you know where they got their socks down to their ankles and whatnot. You're thinking, yeah, they've really run themselves into the ground. It was literally one of those games, wasn't it? And Uruguay works so bloody hard, don't they?
Yeah, they do a great job. I mean, I think the catalyst was 4 years ago when we saw them play against England, and they've kind of just carried it on with the same players and adding younger, fresher players in. And they're definitely a dark horse to win the tournament.
It's scary how far they can go, because if you bear in mind that they didn't concede a goal in the group stages, they only got conceded one tonight, and that was a lapse in concentration at the back from Godin, which effectively cost them the goal. But again, as I mentioned, their work rate was phenomenal, and two goals from Edinson Cavani. Mate, this guy, he's had so much stick over the past few years. I said it before on other shows, he's lived in the shadow of Ibrahimovic at Paris Saint-Germain. He's now living in the shadow of Neymar, and he's constantly having to prove himself. And tonight, he scored two goals. His first goal was off his cheekbone, I guess. But they all count, don't they?
Listen, this guy's seriously underrated. The work rate he puts in, the ability he's got to, when he's in front of goal to finish, he is world class, but people don't see him as world class because he plays such a fabulous team and he gets, overshadowed by so-called better players. You kind of forget about Cavani, but I rate him so high. I think he's a great player.
The thing is, you being a former central defender yourself, and you've played against some of the best strikers out there. When you look at someone like Edinson Cavani, right, and Luis Suarez, two completely different types of players. I think Suarez has got a better work rate, and he probably does it a bit more off the ball. But having said that, Cavani just seems like an absolute nightmare to deal with, because he loves peeling off the defender's shoulder. He's always at the right place at the right time. How do you stop a player like him? You can't mark him tight, can you?
Not really. I mean, do you drop deep? It's all about positioning when you play centre-half. If you know that the guy's quicker than you, you've got to drop off enough where you can get the ball, or if you feel you can outstrip him, then you get tight on him. But he seems to have everything in the locker. I mean, his work rate, he doesn't really go down too much. He's a good, honest player. So I really, really do like him.
And we saw earlier, especially the pundits pointed out really well, that he was actually filling at left-back when he had to. It was incredible.
Yeah, he's a team player. You know, he plays for the team. He don't play for himself and the accolades like other superstars do. And, you know, you always want someone like that on your team, and what a player to have. And with him and Suarez, they've probably got the best attackers attacking two in the World Cup, I'd say.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, mate. Now, you mentioned work rate. Now, I'm going to say something which might be a little bit controversial, and you know, you can disagree as much as you like, because it's only fair. When I look at the South American teams, and I'm going to include Mexico as being a Central American team, I'm going to include nations in that region. For some reason, I just see them as more, I'd say them as more patriotic and more proud than the European nations. And you can see that in the way that they set up. I mean, if you look at Uruguay today, I mean, they were defending in numbers, but they narrowed that midfield. They had four across the midfield, so it was effectively a 4-4-2. But the two wingers came inside as well. So effectively, you got four central midfielders. They worked for each other. I personally, that was one of the best midfield displays I've seen from a defensive perspective in this tournament so far.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, they played fantastic tonight, but I don't think you can say that about all South American teams. I mean, if you look at Argentina, I don't really think they're on the ball today. And they've not really looked good throughout the tournament, to be honest. There's not really... Some of the players are putting in the work rate in the midfield and stuff, but they just look out of sorts. And, you know, when they've got their formation right and everyone's playing for each other, I think the South Americans could go far. South American teams can definitely go far because they've got the technical ability and they've got that little Latin bit of, you know, aggression as well.
No, I see what you mean. What do you make of that central midfield that's linked with Arsenal, Torreira?
I didn't really see much of him, but, you know, anything would be great adding into the squad for the Arsenal, to be fair. I mean, it's a new dawn at the club. I mean, they've got rid of a lot of the backroom squad. I think it would be great having a fresh person, hearing fresh ideas, and, you know, working a little bit harder than they have done previously.
Yeah, it just seems like one of these central midfielders that Arsenal have needed for the past few years. I mean, it's all well and good having someone like Elneny and Flamini and whatnot, but he seems like a step up. He's very comfortable on the ball, and we've seen him put it about a bit as well in terms of slide tackles. So,
I mean, yeah,
I don't think he'll struggle to adapt. Pardon?
That's definitely something that Arsenal's been missing a little bit. Someone with a little bit of oomph, you know, put someone in the air, but can play as well. You know, got a bit of aggression in there. I mean, that's been lacking in the Arsenal squad for many years since Vieira left, definitely. Vieira and Petit.
That's right. Well, if we look at the equaliser from Pepe, he turned him from hero to villain in the space of 5 minutes, didn't he? He got the equaliser. First of all, what did you make of the defending for that one? Because again, as I said before, Godin's defending wasn't great. He was chasing Ronaldo, and Pepe was unmarked, and you don't want to leave someone like that totally on his own.
No, definitely. But if you look at who you'd rather have in front of goal, Pepe or Ronaldo, then, you know, you probably want Pepe in front of goal. But yeah, he did finish it well. But, you know, everyone raves about Godin and stuff like that. The defending hasn't been fantastic in the World Cup for a lot of the games. But, yeah, I mean, because when I was... A lot of people rate him as the best defender in the world, Godin. Before the tournament, I was probably thinking Boateng, but his performance has been absolutely dreadful, strolling around the pitch.
Fair enough.
Yeah, sorry, a bit off track there.
No, that's absolutely fine, mate. Okay, tell me about Pepe then, because we've seen his, I don't know, how shall we say, antics, histrionics, however much you want to call it, the behaviour in the past, trying to decapitate someone by booting their head when he's at Real Madrid. He's been a fairly solid defender, I believe. But it just seems that he's a bit of a bully sometimes. And I think when it comes to positional awareness, he's been lacking, and he's been caught with his trousers down, so to speak. We saw it today. Didn't mark Cavani for the second goal. Gave him so much space because he went for a ball which really he shouldn't really have gone for. Tell me about Pepe. What's your opinion on this defender?
I've never really rated Pepe as world class. I always see that there's a mistake in him somewhere. You know, you get those players that you think, oh yeah, he's a good player, but is that lapse of concentration gonna let him down? Let the squad down at a vital time, and this time it happened, and Cavani got the winning goal from that.
Yeah.
You know, there's players like that who are playing at the moment, and I think England. Move off script, but Sanchez is a player like that as well. He'll always give you a chance because they rely on their speed to get them out of trouble. Kyle Walker's another player like that. When you got fast players, they rely on their speed to get them out of trouble. That's not always the case. It's positional players as a centre-half is probably key to being, to defending the goal.
Yeah, you're right, mate. You're right. And the thing is, when I look at the winning goal from Cavani, it goes back to what I said about him earlier in terms of peeling off the defender's shoulder and stretching the game a little bit. You know, he took the ball out wide. He hit it first time. It was a fantastic hit. What do you make of the goalkeeper's positioning? Because there's someone on Twitter I was having a little bit of a discussion with earlier. It wasn't a debate. Her name is @OfficialKBay. She actually said Patricio was too close to his near post. Do you think that's right? Or was it just a great hit? Because from when I saw it first time, it looked like... You remember Roberto Carlos's free kick against France years ago when it kind of looked like it was going well wide and it just dipped and changed position, changed direction, sorry. It was a similar sort of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think you could really blame the keeper for not saving that, to be honest, because, you know, it was just a wonder strike, wasn't it?
He put a bit of swaz on the ball, as Ray Wilkins used to say.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I don't think you can blame the keeper because, as I said, if you get beaten on the near post, it's all going to come down on the keeper. And, you know, keepers hate being beat on the near post. So, I don't think he could have saved it, even if he was maybe a little bit firmer towards his far post.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, do you know what? There's been a lot of talk about VAR in this competition, and obviously it's influenced a lot of games. It wasn't used today, not that I remember from the Argentina game, it wasn't used tonight for the Uruguay game. I think that's a testament to the players and the referee, because 9 times out of 10, in fact, a lot of the time, we've seen managers, coaches, even substitutes running on the pitch and calling for VAR, doing the, you know, gesticulating for the screen. I only saw Fernando Santos do it once tonight. I think the referee controlled the game very well.
Yeah, no, he did control the game very well. I mean, the only time I remember it today was for the France's penalty, but there was no dispute in that. Argentina wanted to go to VAR. And, I mean, it was just ridiculous. So,
yeah, Rojo.
Again, Rojo, I don't think he's a great defender. He just kind of dives in a lot of the time, and you can't do that at top level. You get found out, which he did.
That's right. Oh, let's talk about the Argentina game. They lost 4-3 to France, and it just seems that the Paris Saint-Germain strikers are trying to outdo each other this season, in this tournament, sorry. You know, Kylian Mbappe scored the brace.
He was amazing today.
Mate.
the runs, the speed, I mean, Argentina couldn't cope with him. I think that's the problem of Argentina. They're always suspect at the back. They always give you a chance, and because I think Argentina, one of the oldest teams, they looked really leggy, and France were just running past them at will, and Mbappe was kind of key to that early on.
The thing is with him, I watch him play and I think, you know what, he's not the finished article by no means. He's still young, he's still a boy, as they say. But even though he looks raw, you can see he's got so much potential. And I'm afraid what we're going to see in the next 4 years or next 5 years, because he's got everything, all the ingredients you need to be a phenomenal striker.
Yeah, I mean, now it's all about, I mean, he's got all the ability, and now it's all about the mental strength and how much does he want it? Does he want to be the best striker in the world? Does he want to push himself every day in training? Or does he want to just take the money and, you know, go to nice restaurants, fancy restaurants, and not work as hard as he has to get him in the position as he is already? So it's just about going to that extra step further. I mean, Ronaldo is a prime example of that. He doesn't stop. He's got his own team of people around him that, you know, keep him in top nick to perform at his best level.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you look at his age and then you see how many players or the type of players he's actually played alongside in his short career, I mean, I'm thinking about Falcao at Monaco. He's playing alongside Cavani and Neymar at Paris Saint-Germain. At international level, he's playing with Griezmann, he's playing with Giroud. If you can't learn from these players, you're not really going to get far. But at the same time, he does seem grounded. You don't see him messing about on social media. And I think the kid has got so much potential. It's unreal at the moment. But let's talk about the actual game itself, because when Argentina went in front from that really big deflection, the first thing I thought was, they're going to win this, aren't they? I mean, it wasn't to be. What did you think when Argentina went 2-1? Do you think that Messi's heroics from the Nigeria game would have pulled them through?
No, you know what? I always thought that France had that next gear to go into. I always felt that France could always come back. As I said before, Argentina at the back, they never throughout the tournament, they've never looked like they can, you know, sharp shop and, you know, not let the opposition score. So I always thought that France could get back in it, and, you know, and they did emphatically.
That's right. And did you see that goal from Benjamin Pavard?
Oh, I mean, the strike was so unbelievable. You know, straight in the top corner, side volley, side half volley, bang, and that.
But it's the second right back that's done that in this tournament. We saw Nacho do it for Spain against Portugal in their opening game. Same sort of thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, players are getting the confidence to just have a hit, you know. If you miss, so what? You know, if you score, you might win gold in a tournament.
Yeah. I've never seen Gary Neville do that.
No, I mean, because it happened in the England-Belgium game when he came out and Loftus-Cheek could have just smashed one, but he took a touch. I was thinking, what, you know, have a bit more confidence, just smash it, so what if it goes over?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, look, France are now joint favourites, but they're going to be without Matuidi against Uruguay. He's going to be a massive loss, isn't he, mate?
Yeah, Matuidi, he does a job, but, I mean, they've still got Kante in centre midfield, who's mm-hmm. been unbelievable this tournament. He just breaks everything up and keeps it simple. I mean, he kept Messi quiet throughout the whole game, I thought, and, you know, any star player out there, if he's marking you, you're not going to get much change out of him, I don't think.
Mm. The thing is, when you've got someone like Kante and Matuidi in the middle of the park, if you're a central defender watching them, what are you thinking? Because they're not similar, are they? I mean, they've both got an engine. They can both win the ball.
No, I mean, Matuidi does run forward as well. He's got the engine and he, you know, and he can play a bit more further forward, but he loves to defend as well. He's just not all-round... hard-working midfielder, and as I said, he's someone that you'd love to have in your team, because again, he's left-footed as well, so it's a little bit different. So he's just one of those horrible players that just, you know, stick to you like glue and don't let you go, and, you know, leaves his foot in and stuff sometimes. I really like him. I think he's a great player.
That's right. Well, look, what kind of an impact do you think Olivier Giroud has made? Because I waxed lyrical about him all season. I think he's a fantastic forward. He's very underrated. And we saw France in their opening game against Australia. They were very stale, very devoid of ideas. They kind of needed someone like him. But since he's come in the side, you could tell they're very, very dynamic going forward. I don't know whether it's because he holds the ball up well and allows players to get into play, or maybe it's just because he's got that physical presence that really gives teams or defenders that problem. How much of an impact do you think he's made since coming back into the team?
I mean, you can see when he left Arsenal, him leaving Arsenal's made a massive impact to how they play. I mean, today, when the first minute, he just smashed the centre-half and let him know that he's going to be in for a game today. You know, and it's a bit old school, but he really does a job. And I didn't realise how much Arsenal missed him. But, you know, he's great. He gets on and, you know, scores goals and set up. He does great hold-up play. And then you can get, like, Mbappe in there and Griezmann to work off him. Because I think he's a great player, and someone that you want in your team, because when he really wants it, he lets people know, because he's big, strong. When he's aggressive and on it, he's there, definitely.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I mean, I never was a central defender, but I'm sure you'll agree with that when they've got someone like Giroud there, it makes so much of a difference in comparison to when they had that front three of that Dembele, Mbappe and Griezmann up top against Australia, and they were just bullied off the ball. Do you get what I'm saying? These players are very lightweight, you know, they're not known to get stuck in, whereas Giroud is. So I think him being in the team...
Giroud doesn't mind getting kicked, and he doesn't mind kicking people as well. You know, if Mbappe goes through and someone kicks him, you know Giroud's going to be the next one to land one of their players and let them, you know, make it 1-0 on the score count. Let them know they're in the game. I mean, I thought it was fantastic today. Hold up play and, you know, just getting in there, not letting Argentina settle on the ball at the back, and which they want to do.
Yeah, and I think also having someone like him in the team, when he, you know, drops deep to win the ball, whether it be in the air or whether to hold it up, the defender's going to be following him. So obviously it's going to create that gap. So you know, your Mbappes or your Griezmanns can occupy that position, because effectively it's just a massive hole, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. They've got the speed. They have the speed to get through the gaps and, you know, exploit the hole that Giroud was creating.
Do you think France can win it, mate? Because I know that they're joint favourites at the moment, but I still think defensively they've got chinks in their armour.
Oh no, they've been my dark horse from day one.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah, definitely. I think they've got it in the. They've got it in the bag. I mean, sometimes I'm not sure about Pogba. It looks like he strolls around and stuff, but feels really on it today. And I think, you know, they're just going to go from strength to strength now and have more belief that they can eventually become the winners.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's talk about Argentina then, because I'm looking at this squad and it seems like, you know, when they talk about the FA being the old boys club, it's a similar sort of thing with Argentina, in the sense that you've got Messi, Di Maria, Aguero, Higuain, Mascherano, Biglia. It's all players over the age of 30. Do you think it's time for them to call it a day at international level? I just think they've flattered to deceive ever since being in the national team. They've really done, well, they've done nothing, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, as I said before, Argentina looked really legged today. I mean, Mascherano was a prime example of that, where the midfielders were just running, Pogba in particular, was just running off him and straight past him. And he tried to catch up and he just didn't have that next gear to get him. You know, I feel sorry for Aguero as well, man. I think he should have started, because he's always got a goal when he plays. And, he hustles people and he's got the strength. And although he's little, he lets centre-halves know that they're in the game. And I think they needed that today, where, you know, they didn't really put the French defence under too much pressure, not until really the end.
Yeah, well, he came on and then he scored the goal, but I was really surprised that he didn't pick Aguero or Higuain or even Dybala. I mean, if you look at that front three...
I mean, they've got unbelievable talent up there, but I think, again, it's how he deals with the players. If they don't feel like a unit and unified, I think some players come on with a strop and, you know, a day you're playing for your national team, you know, you don't really feel part of it, because maybe he's been a sub and not being treated as well as he thought he should have.
Yeah, it could be. I think you're spot on with that. The thing is, you've got someone like Sampaoli, who's the Argentina boss, and even came out and said, you know, that the players have really made a huge effort. And I don't mean to, like, rub salt into the wound, but the way that the players have behaved this campaign has been nothing short of a disgrace. And we've heard the things that have possibly happened in the background and whatnot, players revolting and, you know, Messi taking team talks, you know, in the tunnel, which, you know, a lot has been made of that, because, let's be honest, a lot of captains do that anyway. So it kind of, like, stoked the fire up a bit more. But I just think that Sampaoli was on a hiding to nothing as soon as he got the job. We saw in the past, in fact, we've seen in the past how other Argentinian managers have been treated since Messi has been there. Do you think he's that much of an influence, Lionel Messi?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's Argentina. They've got massive personalities. As we've spoken about before, they've got big, big names in them. If they don't feel they're being treated right, they're going to kick up a fuss. So, you know, as you said, like, you know, they've got amazing front line and players to choose from, but they just don't seem to gel. I mean, if you go back to the World Cup in Brazil, you had a Chile squad with no real big names, and look how far they got because of the unity in the squad, and everyone felt part of it. And he probably tried to transfer that to the Argentinian squad, and, you know, he probably couldn't get his message or ethos of football across to them. And, you know, once you lose a few players, that's it, you're done for. And I think it showed in percentage of the games that they played in the World Cup.
Well, look, going back to France's defence, so you look at Pavard, Varane, Umtiti and Hernandez at the back, they're not your household names. Do you remember when they won the World Cup at France 98? I know it was a long time ago and I'm reminiscing, I'm showing my age, but, you know, they had Thuram, Blanc, Desailly, Lizarazu. That was a back line that you could really, really trust. This one, I'm not entirely sure. And even the substitutes or the possible replacements, Kimpembe, not convinced with him. Adil Rami, I think he's more focused on his missus, Pamela Anderson. So, and Mendy obviously is back from injuries, long-term injuries. So that's one of the reasons why I don't think France will win the World Cup. I just think defensively they're not great. And for them to concede three goals today against a really poor Argentina, I think they're going to struggle, especially against Uruguay in the next round.
Well, They're not top household names at the moment, but you know, this could be the time for them to come out their shell and become household names, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think they can give you a chance, but I really fancy France to go quite far in this tournament and beat Uruguay in the next round.
Really? But how do you think they're going to beat them, though? Because if you base it on today's performance, if you look at Uruguay, how compact they were and how dominant they were in the middle of the park. As I said before, without Matuidi, effectively you've got Pogba and Kante. Pogba doesn't like being harried. We're going to see a lot of that. Kante, I don't think he's really been tested in the sense that he's had a midfield like Uruguay go up against him. I don't think he's faced anything like that before. So how do you think they'll approach this game?
I'm not too sure. I think they sat back a lot and played counter-attack against Argentina. And I think they'll do the same again. Depending on how deep Uruguay drop and whether France can exploit the holes in behind them. But again, they can play in front of them. They've got the ability to play in front of them. So either way, I think France can beat them and have the ability to do so.
Okay.
Because there's not as much team friction as there has been in previous World Cups as well.
Good call. Okay, tomorrow there's two games. You've got Spain against Russia and Croatia against Denmark. Now, I'm not going to ask you who do you think is going to win between Spain and Russia, because I think that's self-explanatory. Although this World Cup has thrown up a few surprises. Croatia-Denmark, that's going to be one of the most, I'd say the most intriguing games of the round, to be fair. You've got two teams that don't give much away. Two teams that really rely on the counter-attack, I believe. But I think Croatia will be a little bit too much for Denmark. What do you think?
Yeah, I believe that too. I mean, again, Croatia, another one of those dark horses that probably get to the semi-finals. I don't know about winning it, but you know, they've got fantastic players there, and they all play for their country as well. They love their country. The passion you're talking about in the South American teams and Central American teams, that could be, Croatia could be added to that as well, because they love this country so much, of all the wars and etc. that's gone on there. I think the unity will help them get quite far in this tournament. And the ability of the players, of course.
Mm. Tell me something. I don't know if you've noticed it, but it seems that out here, a lot of England fans are actually getting excited about the World Cup now. They've actually started to believe it's coming home.
Yeah.
I'm finding it funny, to be fair.
But I watched the first game and I predicted that I believe that they can get to the semi-finals.
Wow, okay. Okay, is that based on the grid, the tournament grid?
Not even based on the grid. I believe because they've got a team spirit there. I think they've got a good manager. There's no kind of egos in there. There's no superstars, and they're all playing for each other. And no matter who comes in, I think they do really well. I mean, against Belgium, I think they did play well, but they just didn't have that cutting edge up front. But they played kind of the same style of football that they had been playing previously. And Belgium are a great team as well. So you know, you can't take anything away. I know they did lose. I don't think it's too much of a bad thing to lose against Belgium in the fashion that they did.
Yeah. The one thing that's impressed me most about Gareth Southgate since he became England manager, his in-game tactical changes. He's not afraid to switch things up. He will start with three at the back. Sometimes you might see four. You might see one man up front, but then you might see three. So he's not afraid to mix it up as and when. And we saw the starting lineup the other day. It was more like a 3-4-2-1. And it ended up being a 3-4-3 at the end. So, you know, they're not afraid to go for it. But here you've got Colombia who snuck through the back door. They beat Senegal just about. You know, Yerry Mina again was their hero. And, you know, I'm rooting for Colombia in this whole competition. I have my reasons. I will go into them later. But, you know, they face England. England losing to Belgium means that they won't be facing Japan instead of Colombia. How do you think... Tell me how you think Belgium-Japan's going to go. Is it going to be a walk in the park for Belgium, as many people
think? In the park for Belgium, I think, all day, yeah. I mean, Japan are good, but there shouldn't be no challenge for Belgium, to be honest.
Fair enough. Okay, England-Colombia then.
Fancy England strongly.
Any reason?
I just think they've got the better team. I think they're very high confidence, and I don't think they'll be able to deal with the kind of pressure that England will put on them. I mean, they talk about Hamid James Rodriguez might maybe out as well, which is probably their best chance of winning. So I really can't see them beating us, to be honest. And again, they've got Sanchez in the back who will always give you a chance. Harry Kane will know him well, what his strengths and weaknesses are. So, you know, he's got a little bit of an inside track there.
That's right. I think the interesting battle will be between Cuadrado and Ashley Young at left back, because both of them like to get forward. Both of them can get back. It would just be a to and fro with that one, like a tug of war, basically.
Yeah. I mean, Cuadrado didn't do too well at Chelsea, but he's been, you know, absolutely smashing at Juve, and he played fantastic in the last game as well. So, you know, he's probably high on confidence at the moment. I mean, there are some threats that Colombia pose, but I believe England can overcome that and reach the quarterfinals.
Okay. Well, on Tuesday is obviously England, Colombia. There's also Sweden against Switzerland. I think a lot of people think this game might be a bit of a bore. I think this might be one of the best ones in the last 16. To be fair.
Yeah, I mean they're both teams that kind of typical kind of mainland European teams, gritty, hardworking. You know, not much up front, but you know they work hard and kind of nick goals. So I fancy Sweden for that. I think they're on a bit of a high at the moment, and I think they've got a better team. They haven't got better individual players. They've got a better team.
Okay, and Brazil against Mexico. Now, a lot of people, myself included, will think it'll be a walk in the park for Brazil. The only thing is, I don't really know what to expect from Mexico anymore, because we saw them in the opening game against Germany. They were really up for it. I mean, I've never seen such a dogged performance against world champions. When it came to the second game, they scraped the win, which you think, yeah, that's great because they've got that character. But then it came Sweden. I know they were already through, but to lose 3-0 like that, and it was basically a pretty strong team that they put out as well. I'm thinking, were they just taking that game too easy? But bearing in mind that they could have played Brazil if they ended second place, which ended up doing. How do you think that game's going to go?
I think it'll be a tight one.
Yeah.
I think Brazil will get through. I can't actually see Brazil going on to becoming champions. I know they're hot favourites at the moment, but I don't think they've got that total package. I think Brazil will pass Mexico, definitely.
Okay. Well, it's quite interesting because the winner of Brazil-Mexico faced the winner of Belgium-Japan. So if we're talking, you know, on paper, it'll be a Brazil-Belgium quarterfinal, and the winner of that will face Uruguay and France in the semi. Or Uruguay or France in the semi, which, wow.
I mean, yeah, definitely. It's a tough side of the draw. But if you look at Germany and Korea, I mean, they had an easy path all the way to the final. So hope, touch wood or fingers crossed, hopefully England could kind of use the same path and have the, well, they got the easiest side of the draw.
Easiest on paper.
Yeah. Football's never played on paper, though, is it?
No, of course not. Of course not. Well, mate, it's been absolutely great having you on. Thank you ever so much for your time.
No problem. It's been great to be back. I've really enjoyed talking to you as always.
And we'll do it again sometime soon, man. It's been a great experience. It always is when you're on anyway. I'm not just saying this. You know your stuff more than I do, so you can educate me every single time.
I don't know about that.
Well, mate, before I let you go, do you want to give our listeners your Twitter handle? Because I believe you're more active on it than you were before.
Not much. It's just Saji_B. That's it.
Excellent.
If you want to send me any questions or anything, let me know and I'll happily answer your requests.
Within reason, of course.
Within reason.
Because
yes,
there's a few dressing room stories which I'm sure you can't divulge for various reasons.
Yeah, there's many dressing room stories. So.
I'm not going to mention any names or ask any names. It's fine. We'll leave it at that. Right, guys, those of you still listening, you can follow us on Twitter at Shoot Defence. We have a Facebook group page. If you don't listen to it on iTunes, listen to it on FNX Network. If you don't listen to FNX Network, we are on Acast and we're also on Audioboom. We've got so many different platforms, and I'd just like to thank everyone for listening during this whole World Cup, because I've had nothing but positive feedback. People messaging me out of the blue saying, "Stel, you're an absolute bloody machine. How are you doing this?" It's because, like as Patrice Evra says, I love this game. We all love this game, and the World Cup brings it all out of us. You know, I'm not going to lie to you, Saj. I don't know about you, mate, but before the World Cup, I was thinking international football, for crying out loud, this is killing me. But this has really restored my faith at this level.
Oh yeah, no, it's been, as I said, it's been amazing, and you know, trying to get back to watch every game is a must at the moment, and try and see the highlights and see what's going on. I mean, there's only been one 0-0 so far. You know, if you look at World Cup's past, I mean, there's been plenty of 0-0s and boring games. This one has just been pure entertainment. So long may it continue throughout the tournament.
He took the words right out of my mouth. So until next time, guys, take care.